this on? If you guys can hear me? Always nice to go first, I guess. Eh? No one else said what I say. So this trip, for me, I think the best part for me anyways was the youth activity, which Wally already talked about. But it was different than VBS. So they sort of understood it. It was cool to see them. We do our devotions, or we're singing. They'd get emotional. Someone would start crying. And you can just see that they were really understanding it. That was the best part of knowing and being able to see that, you know, they actually understand that they're missing something in their life and that they need the Lord. So I think that was the coolest part. And with a lot of the youth, since we left already, I've got a whole bunch of messages on them on Facebook, just sort of being, we miss you, come back, we want, it's just, real connections made. So I think that was, the best part for me. So this was my third year going up, but it was 4 years involved. There was 1 year I couldn't go.
This is my second year, and for me the coolest thing was just in youth and VBS when like we would try to explain something to the kids, and you like of course there were just some that just didn't get it and they'd stare at us with their mouths open, but like the kids that you see it click. Or like they understand and they nod and that they're able to talk about it after. It's just, that's what we went up for, to explain to these kids what we believe in, and to see that they were getting it was really cool.
This is my fifth year going. After so many times, you know, it's like going back home, you know, you walk out and then you see all the kids and it's like your own family that you're giving hugs to. And it's, I would say that this past 2 weeks was a very emotional time, knowing that, we're going to be leaving, and Dave and Joanna are also going to be leaving. So a lot of heavy feelings. But I would say, the youth was, big time for sure, something that was, well, you can tell it was just put together by God, because, you know, more and more kids were coming out every night, and it was a way bigger success than I would have thought. But, you know, just the connections and the relationships that we're able to build up with these kids, it takes a big place in my heart anyways, and I'm sure I'm speaking for everybody else too. But I think Wally wanted me to talk about my year coming up. But Wally asked me down there, up there, to talk about in September and what I'm going to do next year. But I'm going to be going on a few missions trips. There's a pastor from our church that asked me to kind of follow him on the trips that he's doing, because he needed a musician or whatever. But so I'm going to be going to Kenya first, and then going to Jamaica, and then India, and then going to Haiti again with our church. But so I guess if I could ask for prayer, that'd be good, because I know in Kenya right now there's a lot of so but anyway, that's it for me.
It was my third year going up this year. I went 2 years and I missed 2 years. So, this year was a lot different than the years I went before for more than one reason. Like Dave and Joanna are leaving too. So like Louis said, it was more emotional. And I remember going like the years before and the kids were always like all over us. But this year it was more like every single time they saw us, they would run and give us a hug. And it was like, every time they hugged us, it was like the last time they were able to hug us. Like that's how they would hug us. And so it was more emotional. Also, like, I think I speak for the whole team when I say that we learned to, trust God on like a different level. And, Also, like, just as soon as you get there and the kids are waiting for you at the airport, and all year they message you on Facebook, and then when you leave, they wait at the airport with you. And we left, I think we were at the airport at around 8 in the morning, and they still woke up early, and some of them sleep in till like 1 or 2, but they woke up early and they came to the airport with us, and it just shows that, like, we're pretty much, us and Dave and Joanna, we're pretty much like the only love that they have, and that's really sad.
This is my second year going up on the missions trip, and I lived in Kudrapik for a year, teaching on the Cree side. So it was a really good experience for me because I got to see a bunch of, sorry, I get all emotional, but, just a bunch of these kids that I had known. And it was hard because when I knew them, a lot of them were in grade 3 or 4 or 5, and those were the pictures you saw of the youth. A lot of them are older now, and they shared some of their life experiences with me, and it was so hard, and it just felt so hopeless at the beginning because they deal with abuse and alcoholism and drugs and cutting and suicide, and it just seems so hopeless. But I just felt halfway through the trip, or maybe it was even the first week, I went to the graveyard with a couple of the Cree girls, and we were walking around, and they were telling me stories about some of the people who had died, and they were so sad. Some of them had committed suicide. Some of them were killed out of jealousy and rage, just some really horrible stories. And we stopped at this one grave, and this little girl who just has such a hard life, she looked at me and she's like, "Lindsay, can you pray for me? Can you pray for us? Let's just stop and let's pray together." And I just felt this overwhelming sense of joy and hope and just faith and trust in God that He had these kids. And even if we're not there, even if we're not there, He's going to take care of them. And even if Dave and Joanna aren't there, He has them in His hands. And so pray for them because they are so incredible and they just need God's love so much. And that's the only thing that's going to save them. And God really spoke to me about that. So, yeah.
Thanks. Lindsay and I, we have this common thing that if she starts to cry, I start to cry. You can leave. Yeah. Anyways, this was my fifth year going up to Kudrapik. And every year, for myself, as being one of the leaders, the blessing is seeing the youth. What an encouragement they are to us, and how they work together and how they interact with the children and the youth, but how they all pull it together. And it's just very encouraging that this, our future leaders, probably taking up mission teams to who knows where. And that's a real blessing and encouragement. And they all said that, "Oh, this is great." No, they all considered it to be a privilege to go and do this for the Lord. It's just amazing. There's a lot of things, and Wally might get into it, but how sovereign God is. One of the incidents that happened was we were doing our VBS in the Triple Gym, and there was a lot of noise and a lot of echo. The first day we were there, and we said, "Oh man, what are we going to do?" And then we found out there's this dance team that was going to be in the Triple Gym the same time we were going to be in, and we're going, "Oh, that's not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to work." So we go to the person who's in charge of the Triple Gym, and actually, Lindsay and kind of Nick said, "Well, maybe we could have they actually have a youth center there, which is in the gym." Go to see the guy. He said, "Yeah, whatever you guys need, we'll do it." We prayed about it as a team, and God answered, and we couldn't have asked for a better place to do our VBS. But the thing that probably hit me the most was the last night when the team did this drama. And it fit in so well with what was going on in the community. About a young girl who trying to follow the Lord, and then she gets caught up in the things of this world, and she's trying to get back to the Lord, and all these vices are holding her back and pushing her back. But then Christ intercedes, and he pushes them all back. It's the same drama that they did in Haiti. But the look on our youth faces when they were doing the drama, it just blew me away. And then you looked at the youth that were in, watching it from up there, and you could see them crying. Because what our team was doing in drama, they were living. They were living each and every day. But the hope was Jesus Christ. And it was just amazing. So God is good. And I think he used Cougar Rapids 2014 to really speak to the kids up there, the youth, but the whole community as well.
Well, thanks a lot, team. You can sit down now. Louis and Lucy and Eugene, their father, went to Haiti, and we had the presentation here earlier about Haiti. They saw a lot of what the devil does. Cougar Rapids is a very, very demon-possessed community. Cougar Rapids, what Muckstoy, the Cree side. First year we were there, we stayed in a house in the Cree side, and girls were in the basement, and Sally and I had a spare bedroom upstairs, and the girls were in the basement with Gita, and they could hear children running around upstairs and giggling and that. There were no kids upstairs. And for a lot of these young people, this is the first time they've experienced that the devil is real. There are people who possess themselves or profess themselves as Christians that don't believe in the devil. They just don't believe in him. And he's real. He's real in this community. David was telling me, the last evening we were there, he was telling me a story about this older woman. She's actually my age, but she looks 10 years older than me. They were baptizing. They brought her to a pond that's a little warmer in Hudson Bay to baptize her. When David was ready to put her under the water, she had her down, and her body would not submerge. And Dave and Joanna had to literally push her under. And while this was happening, there was a person up on the road, a sort of black pants, black hoodie with a hoodie up, and was watching them. And he thought it was just somebody just going by. But Emily, she told Dave, he says, when you tried to baptize me, he says, I just felt like I was having a heart attack. And what happened was when she was finally, she submerged, she came up and she felt so good. This person that was up in the road, they saw him walking away, and they got into their car to go back, get Emily to get changed. And he had disappeared, literally disappeared. So this is what missionaries are going through in this community. It's been a hard sell. It's this community. You go further down the coast to the Cree villages, there's a lot of Christians in them. There's a lot of youth pastors, and the Anglican Church actually has ordained ministers in those communities, Cree, that are Cree. But Cougar Rapids and what Muckstoy is, it's a tough sell. There's been many missionaries in there, and it's been very hard for them. So I asked Dave, I said, this is 6 years we've been there. I've been there seven. I actually went up in March break for a week. I said, what value does mission team short-term mission team to your community. Some of the things he mentioned that he thought was very important, because there are people who think mission trips are a waste of money. You know, they've heard this with Haiti too. You know, why don't you just send the money to them? They can do some good with the money. You talk to people like you talk to the pastor in Haiti, or you talk to Dave and Joanna. He said, no, money is not a thing. Gujarat, the people don't need money. They have money. Hydro-Quebec, Quebec government, the Canadian government, they supply with lots of money. Unfortunately, it gets spent on the wrong things. But the money's there. What they need is God. So, David said, people in Kudrapik, the advantage there is not just the kids, but the adults. They get to see a team of teenagers come up there who are different. Not different color skin, different in their host perspective. Kids who actually are Christian and live as Christians. And this is why we're so careful about our team, who we bring up there. And we emphasize with them. You know, even like Jesse and Brianna with the boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, in previous years. It says, you got to be careful how they see you. This is so important. Because if they see you, you know, doing things in public, they say, well, they're no different than our kids. And, you know, to be blunt, there are very few virgin girls over 15 in that community. They see teens living for God, and that's what they're doing. They're coming up there. This year was intense. We were there for 2 weeks, living in close quarters. And living in close quarters, you know, there's a few times when things start getting a little tense, but, you know, like we're practically on top of each other in the Bugs house. And poor Joanna, I mean, she was cooking all the meals, doing the laundry. Like, everybody felt for her. But it's just like in Haiti. It comes to nighttime, they're tired. They spend the morning preparing for VBS. They spend the afternoon doing VBS. They get back. They're preparing for the youth. After supper, they spend time with the youth. That's a long day. Long, intense day. You see young girls that live differently. This is a big thing there. Just with the girls. And they see girls that are different. Live different, talk different, think differently. They're Christ-like. One thing is very, very apparent. They see their kids and how attached they are to our youth. I mean, they literally, it's amazing. There's one little boy, Maiva, you saw the picture, a cute little kid. He hurt himself, and I just sort of picked him up. You can throw all the rules aside that we have to go through with young children when we go up there. So I just picked him up, you know, to comfort him. Like, he held on so tight. It's just his head was just stuck here, and he was sobbing. And he would not let go. I asked Dave about it. He says, it's just like my own kids. He said, Wally, he doesn't get anybody else doing that to him. He hurts. He's on his own. You know, 8-year-old kid. You see attention. And our young people do the same thing. They're attention. They're on them. They're on their backs. They're holding them. And they don't get this type of attention. So this is something that's so important. The older girls, you got to be a little more careful with the boys because, you know, sometimes you wonder what their intentions are. They sort of fall in love with some of our older kids, but they're forewarned. Their Sunday school attendance has gone way up because of our mission team, which is a real plus. And the other thing Dave said, he said, Wally, be honest. Our standing as missionaries in this community has been a lot better with the mission team coming up. So there's a lot of value to this. These missions, a short-term mission. It's a lot of value. I was reading an article said, and this probably is from hearing about the Haiti trip as well. Mission trip is not just about the journey itself. It is about how we live when we get home. How we live when we get home. You've heard about Louis. Louis made a lot of changes. I remember dropping Louis off at midnight at Southport Pentecost, and last thing I just said to his dad, Eugene, I didn't bring the same kid home, and he just sort of looked at me. Funny wife. Louis started doing a lot of thinking. Louis's been a very pensive person, and he's doing a lot of thinking and about his life. And you see what he's done, Nick, with going with Pastor Scott to Kenya, which we know is not a very safe place, going to India, Jamaica, back to Haiti. And this is really, really, really awesome to see this type of thing happening. We look at our door. Over the door was put up there at Winter Run quite a few years ago. It's still up there. The sign that says, we are now entering the mission field. And this is an important thing, coming back from mission trips, is remember that it doesn't stop in Kujarapik. When we come home, the mission trip is still on in our own community, because there's a lot of needs in this community. The devil is still very present in this community. I got a young man staying with me right now. Hopefully he'll be gone at the end of this month. But I can't, that stuff that he has gone through is unbelievable. And hopefully things are going to change with him. But we need to take mission seriously. We're called to do it. It's not a gift, mission. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides us through mission work. We don't do it ourselves. If we do it ourselves, we'll fail. But we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us. And we can all do it. We can make a difference to our neighbors, to this community. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just do thank you for the privilege it was for us to go up to Kujarapik and Wapmuxtoy. We just thank you, Father, for the prayers that were uplifted from Bible Fellowship, Grace, supporting Pentecostal, and other Christians in this community that were supporting us, Father. We just thank you for the word that we were able to share with these young people in that community. Father, we just pray that as each one of us in this room, in our hearts, can just get that missionary spirit to go out in our own community, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, and to just spread the good news gospel, Father. End times are coming, and we can just see this every day. And Father, it just becomes more desperate that we reach out there and plant these seeds. We thank you, Lord, for those that you did bring to yourself, Father. And, Lord, we just pray that in Kujarapik and Wapmuxtoy that more souls come to know you, Father, and to make a statement of faith to you, Lord. Just be with us, Son, as we depart in our ways, Lord. We just thank you again in his most precious name. Amen.